We are back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues with a look back at Monday night. The Pittsburgh Steelers prevailing over the San Diego Chargers. Strange finish to that game, including some time elapsing off the clock when it should have been stopped. Right. And the Steelers, with 5 seconds to go and one timeout, line up Wildcat. And Le'Veon Bell scores the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, we could sit here and talk about that play. I thought it's an awful, horrendous call because not only do you take the quarterback and the element of the pass out of the play, you have a running quarterback. Say what you want about Mike Vick and if he could still run in that. You got two options. You automatically took off that play and you said, everything's on Bell. He's running it left or right. So you got kind of a head-scratcher. It worked for them. You know, you look at the time loss there, too. They had no clue what was going on. Again, a Pittsburgh Steelers coaching staff, unaware of the clock. But as I told you after week one, this is a hardened team that I think we're going to see at the end of the year. I really do.
I think they get the most out of what they have. I think Vick was pretty bad for three quarters. He had the big sort of late play action play where he hits one for basically the length of the field.
That was a chuck and duck.
Exactly.
Too,
right?
They drew that up. Exactly. You know?
It basically appears at this point that that's going to be the thing until Ben gets back. Super conservative with a play call. Misses a lot of intermediate windows. He just hangs in there until they finally break one. Le'Veon Bell is so special, though. They had so many sort of series continuing drives just because he would break plays sometimes where there wasn't even a gap there. But the thing that I jumped out beyond just, Bob, you'd mentioned sort of the time lapse, the unnecessary roughness on the 1-inch yard line was one of the most asinine calls you'll see in football, because basically you're asking the young man with the game on the line not to hit exactly where the ball is. If he hits where the NFL likes and goes low on the guy rolls into the end of them. You're basically saying, concede the points. How can you create a rule that says concede the points? That's so anti-football. Roger, you know, Lombardi's rolling over his grave on that one.
The Baltimore Ravens, picked by many to go to the Super Bowl, reeling after another loss, this time to Cleveland at home in overtime after shredding 457 yards passing by McCown.
Who? McCown. There's your answer right there. But it goes to show you, I mean, it's a team in Cleveland. It really doesn't know who they want their quarterback to be. It's kind of, you know, whichever guy is active that week, whichever guy's playing better is going to be the guy. Goes into Baltimore and puts up those type of numbers, that's a nail in the coffin for Baltimore. I don't care what you say. Cincinnati's really stretched that gap, and Pittsburgh's kind of treading water here and surviving until Big Ben comes back.
The biggest thing that popped out to me is they made a calculated sort of gamble here. You're gonna live one more year with Steve Smith, which is fine, but he got injured. You draft Bernard Perryman, which is sort of going to be your big play threat guy. You're going to let Torrey Smith go. Torrey Smith sitting there out on the shelf in a San Francisco offense. They can't use him. They no longer have the tight end production that they used to have with Owen Daniels. So now they draft a young kid in Max Williams from Minnesota. He hasn't been as productive as you'd get. So you lose production at the tight end position. You no longer have the downfield threat. And your best guy, Steve Smith, is injured.
And if the Ravens were a fashionable pick to win the AFC this year, another trendy pick, the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about them right after this on Patriots This Week.